If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Before we deal with the law of miscellaneous nature, which is the topic today, and inshallah in the upcoming episodes, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Sistani.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzumah Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, let's talk about the food and trading in food, you know. Lots of people, in fact, find it too hard to find a job. And when it comes to it, sometimes you are forced actually to find any spot in the supermarket or sales business. So is it permissible, according to Ayatollah Sistani, to work in the areas of food in non-Muslim countries and trade in these foods? And we know for sure that lots of these foods are not ritually pure, so they are haram. Is it permissible to trade in haram food?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when it comes to pork, Ayatollah Sistani says that it is not permissible to sell pork as an obligatory precaution.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, Ayatollah Sistani actually maintains precaution.
Right.
And precaution means that this is not a fatwa. He simply exercises precaution and wants his followers to exercise precaution as well, you know, not by not selling pork.
Right.
Pork is ritually impure. Okay. But as a Muslim, if you want to work in a for example in a sales department,
right,
sales department, you can carry pork from one place to another place. You can work in a slaughterhouse, and it does not mean that you're selling it.
Mm-hmm.
You as a someone carrying, working, doing the cleaning job, and
yes,
and carrying pork from one place to another place, and there's no objection to you. But when it comes to delivering a pork, you cannot deliver pork to the clients. If you know that the package contains pork, it is not permissible as an obligatory precaution to deliver pork to the customers. But if you do not know whether the food package contains pork or not, it's not necessary for you to investigate. You can still deliver it, even though there is possibility, a slight possibility that the food package might contain pork.
Yes.
Okay.
If there's a possibility, then
you can go ahead. You can sell it because you're not sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The food there could be halal meat. There could be rice. There could be anything halal. But you know, there's also a possibility. There's a chance that the food might contain something haram.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's not an objection.
But what about working in a slaughterhouse where there are pigs?
Of course.
The pigs are slaughtered, and you know that the pigs are slaughtered.
You know, you can work as a cook, cooking pork.
Yes.
Ayatollah Sistani says that there's no problem. You can cook non-halal meat, including pork.
But then you're gonna, you're gonna make sure that this is going to be delivered later to the customers.
Oh, you're not going to deliver it. You have nothing to do with the delivery, you know.
But you have been engaged in killing them.
Yeah, you are working in the butcher's, in the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
There's no objection to you working there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also no objection to you working as a cook.
Right.
Preparing the food for non-Muslims. But you are not directly involved in selling the food and receiving the cash from non-Muslims. As long as you're not directly involved, you're still allowed to work there.
Right.
To work there. Generally speaking, it is permissible to work in a convenience store or in a superstore or in a store, okay?
Yes.
Even if you know that your job involves carrying pork, you know, putting non-halal meat on the shelf and on the counter or whatever. And these are, you know. And when it comes to chicken, of course, when
right,
it comes to chicken, to mm-hmm, beef, to mutton, you know,
mm-hmm,
these are the different types of meat.
Yes.
Ayatollah Sistani says there's no problem in selling these to non-Muslims who do not care about halal and haram things, you know. It's permissible to sell.
Because you're not selling them to Muslims, basically.
Yeah, you're not
right?
selling. You cannot sell these things to Muslims.
Yes, only to the non-believers.
To non-Muslims, of course.
Yeah.
You know, non-Muslims, they always eat such things, haram meat, of course. And so it is always permissible to sell beef, mutton, and, you know, chicken,
okay,
even though they are haram to non-Muslims.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Asifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Back to the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and Sheikh Javid, our dear guest speaker. We were talking about whether it is permissible, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Sistani, to work and trade in the food in the non-Muslim countries. So, Sheikh Javid, you said that, as long as you are not engaged in the delivery of, for example, some special food like pork for example,
yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Which is najis or ritually impure. And to the non-Muslims, it is permissible, according to Ayatollah Sistani.
Yes.
But you cannot deliver them, in fact, obviously, to the Muslims.
Yes. I would like to add, I need to further explain the issue.
All right.
You know, because you said that, okay, Muslims are working, Muslims in the West can't find jobs, and they have to end up working in such places.
Exactly.
Sometimes they might want to sell alcohol, and alcohol is everywhere.
Yes.
What would be the...
Jurisprudential status?
Yeah, status. Now, alcohol is absolutely forbidden, according to all religious authorities, including Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, all every other religious authority.
All right.
But in case every Muslim individual working in such places should try his best to avoid selling alcohol. Okay. And doing any task, any job associated with alcohol is forbidden. Like, for example, washing alcohol bottles in a restaurant,
yes,
or glasses used for drinking wine or alcohol is absolutely forbidden, washing them.
Yes.
And also carrying such bottles to clients, to people here and there is absolutely forbidden. Delivering alcohol to non-Muslims or to anyone is absolutely forbidden. Now, there are some rare cases of Muslims who cannot find jobs, and if they leave their jobs, they will definitely, their families will suffer, and they themselves will find it very difficult to maintain their families.
Yes, there will be financial consequences, basically.
Yeah. So their constraints are there. Now, in such cases, if a person is supposed to deal with alcohol, of course, Ayatollah Sistani says that he can take the money with the intention of istinqaz.
Istinqaz. What is that?
Istinqaz means that a person has to have this intention to secure the money and take the money with the intention of securing it so that he may use the money for halal purpose.
All right.
Okay? And this is what istinqaz is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Istinqaz means to save the money, to secure it, so that you may use the money for a halal purpose.
Right.
Okay? And if you have this intention, there is no problem in receiving that money, you know? Istinqaz is meaningful and relevant when you want to deal with a non-Muslim.
And you don't have to give it back or something, like a loan or something?
No, no.
So
yeah,
it's you, something you take forever.
You don't have to give it back.
Forever.
You take it from non-Muslim, and of course, you use that money for halal purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's something like that kind of law, I remember, when it comes to the necessity, when push comes to shove, basically when you are starving and hungry, even the pork's meat becomes halal, right?
Yeah.
Only to actually quench your thirst and hunger.
You could give that example.
Yes.
In the case of necessity, extreme necessity, or when one is facing unbearable hardship,
yes,
you're allowed to do something
okay.
to the extent that the necessity is removed.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javi. I hope you listened, you enjoyed listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.